All right. Well, you know, I was thinking and praying about what I should share with you guys today. And for a while, I believe that God has placed in my heart that I needed to begin a new series here at the shelter called The Armor of God. How many here know about the armor of God? The armor of God. The armor of God. And we're going to be talking about today the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And, you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, right? You became a Christ follower. You became a believer. And guess what? God, the Creator of heaven and earth, became your Father. The Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of you and of me when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. God's will for you is good. He is the author of good. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you then being evil or having the sin nature know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? So we agree that God is the author of good, right? Amen. You know, when Peter was preaching in Acts 10:38, he said how Jesus went about doing good, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. So God the Father is the author of good. Jesus does good for us. And then Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and in 16, he said, before he was crucified, he said, when I ascend back to my Father, I am going to leave you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. He's the Comforter. He's the Counselor. He's the one who strengthens us. So God the Father, His will for us is good. He has our best interests in mind. Jesus Christ, God the Son, does good for us. The Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us is our Counselor. He's got good things in store for us. But in our spiritual walk, friends, there's a realm of evil battling against Christians. It's not a flesh and war battle like in Iraq. You know, in Iraq you've got flesh and bone Americans fighting against flesh and bone Iraqis, right? But in our Christian walk, this battle is not a flesh and bone battle. It's a spiritual battle. A spiritual warfare against the devil and his angels. I'll tell you a story here about something that happened to me. Back in about October of 1993, I was going to a Christian university, and we had a campus-wide revival. And on Friday nights, we would go out and share the gospel one-on-one here in downtown Tulsa. And so I happened to be with my group this Friday night in October of 93, sharing the gospel. And all at once, I met this little lady, about 5 foot tall, here at the downtown post office. And she just, I guess, was full of demons. And she started manifesting male voices, started cursing at me. These demons started saying to me, we see Jesus all over you, leave us alone. You've got the key that locks the door to our freedom. And then she started to swing at me. She wasn't swinging at me to hurt me physically. What was it? It was inspired by demons. That was not a flesh and war battle that night. That was a spiritual battle. I was battling against the devil and his angels. And we prayed for her. And demons were cast out of her. And friends, in our spiritual walk with God, we're going to encounter spiritual warfare. And this is what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. If you have a Bible, you can follow. If not, I'll read. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Draw your strength from Jesus Christ, who dwells on the inside of you, he's saying. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against the devil's strategies, he's saying, against the devil's trickeries. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, as I said earlier. As Christians, we're not in a flesh and blood struggle. This is a spiritual struggle. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, guess what, friends? The devil is going to try to come against you with his strategies and his tricks. He's going to try to stand up against you and intimidate you. He's going to try to get you to bend. He's going to try to get you to walk away from your walk with God. He's going to try to make you like a dog who's afraid with its tail stuck between its legs. He wants you to back down in your walk with Christ. But what is Paul telling us in Ephesians 6, the scripture that we just read? Verse 13, stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand against the enemy. Stand up strong against him and say, you know what? You may be trying to get me to bend, but I've got the spiritual armor of God on me. And I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to be intimidated. You know what? I'm going to win and you're going to lose, devil. Amen? Amen? He talks about the first part of spiritual armor here in verse 14. And this is the piece I want to talk about today. It's called the belt of truth. He says, stand firm in verse 14. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, you see my physical body, right? And on my physical body, what do I have here? A physical belt. It helps hold up my jeans, right? Amen. And this physical belt sits where?
Around your waist.
Around my waist, about center of my physical body, right? I think the picture Paul the Apostle is trying to create here is this. What he's saying is this. He's saying, let the truth of God, the belt of truth, be central in your spiritual life. In your walk with God and Jesus, let the belt of truth, let God's truth be center, be the central part of your spiritual life. Just like this physical belt is about center on my physical body. You know, he talks about the belt of truth. And for Paul the Apostle in verse 14 to mention the belt of truth as the first part of the spiritual armor, it means that the devil is coming against us how? With what strategy? For Paul the Apostle, let me say it again, to mention the belt of truth as the first piece of spiritual armor, that means that one of the ways, one of the devil's spiritual battle tactics against us is what?
Flesh.
All right. Think about this. He says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Why is he telling us this? Because one of the ways that the devil and his angels try to come against us is through the spiritual battle strategy called deception. Deception. What's deception? Deception is a misrepresentation or a distortion of the truth. So that you start to think about that lie and think about that lie to the point where you accept that lie as truth. You know, the devil, friend, is not going to just stand up in front of your face and say, hey, you know what, friend, guy, I'm the devil. Here I am. I'm strong. And I'm going to command you and you do what I tell you to do. He's not going to do that. He's not going to control you that way. How is the devil going to manipulate you? How's he going to try to manipulate you? Think about it. Through deception. He's going to take the truth. He tries to take the truth with believers. He tries to distort it. And then he makes it attractive. So that we swallow it. Hook, line, and sinker. Does that make sense? How many here have heard about the frog in boiling water? The frog in boiling water. I'll tell you the story here. You can take a frog, or it's been said, you can take a frog and put it in lukewarm water, in a pot. Just take a frog, put it in lukewarm water. The frog likes the way that warm water feels. You can put them on a stove where the temperature is lukewarm, and the frog likes it. And you can turn the temperature up on that stove little by little, and the water gets warmer and warmer, and the frog thinks, you know what, this feels pretty good. I like this warm water. And he just sits there, and sits there, and sits there. It's attractive to him. It feels good to him to the point where when the water's boiling, guess what it does to the frog? It boils him to death. That frog is deceived into thinking that warm water will never do anything to him. He's deceived into thinking the increasing temperature in that water won't harm him to the point where he boils to death. And the enemy tries to do the same thing with us at times, friend. He's looking to boil us to death eternally. None of us want to be a frog in the hands of the enemy, right? Say it with me today. I don't want to be a frog in the hands of the enemy. He's not going to deceive me. Because I'm going to have the belt of truth buckled around my waist. Let's talk about some of the areas of our lives where the enemy tries to deceive us, to use this spiritual battle tactic against us of deception. For instance, in the realm of peace, how many here believe that peace in your emotions is a good thing? God only gives peace that surpasses human understanding, right? And so you may be going through a really tough time, maybe depression, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've lost a loved one, maybe you've lost something that was dear in your life. And the enemy whispers to you and says, you know what? Take some drugs, get high to escape your depression. Drink alcohol to the point of getting drunk so you can escape your grief. If it feels good, he says, just do it. God understands, God will forgive it. What is he trying to do? He's taking the truth of peace and he's distorting it. Right? He's lying to you. And he's lying to you and making it look attractive by saying what? By saying, if it feels good, just take those drugs. Just drink that alcohol. God will forgive you. And guess what? What's his ultimate intention? It's to keep you bound in the grip of sin and to drag our souls to hell. That's his intention. It's to distort the truth and deceive us. Another area where he tries to deceive is in physical relationship with the opposite sex. Now, sex is a great thing, right? In marriage. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's something that God has created. Right? And you may not be married. And you might be getting weak physically. And the devil whispers. He says, well, you know what, Jack? You know what, Joe? You know what, Sally? If it feels good, just do it with somebody who's not your spouse. God understands it. His grace will cover it. Continue doing it, and his grace will continue covering it. What is he doing? He's lying to you. He's making the lie attractive by saying what? If it feels good, just do it because what? Because anyway, God will forgive it. Does that make sense? To the point where you begin thinking like that, well, if it feels good, I should just do it. God is going to forgive it anyway. You begin believing it to the point where you believe that lie as truth. What is he wanting to do? He's wanting to get you under the bondage of sin, and he's wanting to drag the souls of believers to hell. That's what he's looking to do. And then how many here like to know about what their future holds? All of us do, right? About the plan that God has for us, the career path that we're to take, the educational path that we're to take, the person we're to marry. We here like to know about our futures, right? And so what does the devil whisper? He tries to deceive. Knowing your future is a good thing. God wants to tell us about our futures. But what does the devil whisper in the ears of a believer? He says, you know what? God wants you to know your future. Just go to a fortune teller. Just go to a palm reader. God can use them to speak to you about your future. And you start thinking about it. Wow, he could? What has he done? He's taken a truth, he's distorted it, he's lied to you, and he's made the lie attractive by saying what? That God can use a fortune teller to tell you about your future. Friends, that is deception. Misrepresenting the truth and making it attractive so that you'll take it. What's the devil's intention? To get us under the grip of sin and to drag us to hell. But what does Paul say in Ephesians 6:14? He says, though stand firm then when the enemy tries to whisper these lies into your spiritual ears. He says, put on the belt of truth, buckle it around your waist. So what makes up the belt of truth? What makes up this spiritual piece of the armor called the belt of truth? What makes it up? Let's turn to John 8, Jesus talking. We'll find out here real quick. John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the previous verse, verse 31, he's talking about his teaching. And then he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth Jesus was talking about was his teaching. Today, where is the teaching and the truth of Christ found? Right here. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, if you have a Bible. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. This is what he says to Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. What word of truth is Paul the Apostle talking about in 2 Timothy 2:15? Today, it's this. The truth of God's word. So the belt of truth is made up of what? That Paul talks about in Ephesians 6:14. It's made up of this written word of God called the Bible. You've got to buckle it around your waist. How do you buckle it around your waist? How do you put it on around your waist? In the center part of your being, in the center of your spiritual life. How do you make it central in your walk with Christ? By reading it. By getting into the Word on a daily basis. Not once a week. Not once a month. But on a consistent daily basis. And not just reading it, but thinking about what you read. Meditating on the words that you read in this Bible. That's how you put on the spiritual part of the armor called the belt of truth. What is the other part of the belt of truth? Before we talk about that, let me just do this. Remember when I talked about earlier where the enemy would try to deceive you in the area of peace and say, you know what? If you need peace in your life, take drugs and alcohol. How do you respond to him when he tries to whisper that in your ears? Say, Satan, no. Are you kidding me? Drugs and alcohol are going to give me peace? That's not what this word of truth says. I've got the word of truth around my waist, and this is what Jesus says in his word of truth in John 14, 27. And this is what Jesus says. What does Jesus say concerning peace? This is how you respond to the enemy when he tries to attack you with deception. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says, I don't give you peace as the world gives peace. What kind of peace does the world give? The world says, if you want peace, take drugs. If you want peace, get drunk. If you want peace, get involved with yoga. Those things don't provide peace. What do they provide? They provide temporary relief. And that's what Jesus says, I give you my peace that you can have in the midst of the storms of your life. So when the enemy says, you know what? It'll be okay. Try to find peace in drugs. Try to find peace in alcohol. You say, no. I've got the belt of truth on. And the word of truth says that only Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, can give me everlasting peace. Only Jesus. No one, no other thing can give me peace except Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So what are you doing in this scenario? You're coming against the devil with the belt of truth wrapped around your waist. That spiritual piece of armor. He's trying to come against you in this spiritual battle, and you're coming against him with the word of truth. And guess what? As you come against him with the word of God, he will have to flee. There's one thing he hates so much, and what is it? It's the written word of God. Remember when he tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? He tempted Jesus 3 times. And every time, what did Jesus do? Jesus had the belt of truth wrapped around his waist. He was truth. He quoted from Deuteronomy, from the word of truth, 3 times. And it says in Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him. When he tries to deceive you, speak to him the word of truth, which is wrapped around the center part of your spiritual walk with God. You know, if the enemy says, for instance, we talked about this a few minutes ago, continue fornicating. It's okay. You can sleep with somebody who's not your spouse. If it feels good, just do it. God will understand. He'll forgive you. What is he trying to do? He's deceiving you. He's trying to get you to believe a lie. And how do you respond to him? With a spiritual piece of armor called the word of truth. You say, Satan, I don't think so. The word of God says in Romans chapter 6, and I'll read it to you. Shall we say then, what shall we say then? Romans 6:1. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or didn't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. These Roman Christians were dealing with the same type of deception, friends. They were thinking, you know what, we can continue to sin. And as we sin, the grace of God will increase. And the enemy may try to deceive you that way. It's okay to fornicate. Because as you fornicate, God will forgive you. Do it 100 times, and 100 times God will forgive you. You tell him, Satan, no. The word of truth, this word in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, no, absolutely not. I died to sin when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am not going to fornicate with somebody, sleep with somebody who is not my spouse. He's trying to deceive you, but how do you respond with this word, the word of truth? You know, if the enemy tells you, go to fortune tellers to learn about your future, go to palm readers. It's okay. God will understand. He'll forgive you. What do you tell him? No. The word of truth says in John chapter 14, Jesus said it. Just a few more scriptures here. John 14, verse 16. That's what Jesus said. He says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. And he mentions it again in 14, in chapter 16 of John. He says, I am going to leave with you the counselor, the Spirit of truth. We can turn to John 16 real quick. And this is what Jesus has to say. Verse 13, John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. The only one that we're to consult about concerning our future is whom? The Holy Spirit. God himself. When the enemy says, it's okay, go to a fortune teller. Go to a palm reader. Dabble in that stuff. God can speak to you through a fortune teller. Tell him, Satan, no, in the name of Jesus. I'm standing my ground firm. The word of God says, the word of truth, which is the center of my spiritual walk with God, says that I'm only to consult the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, concerning my future. And as you quote the word to Satan, guess what? He has got to flee, and he will not deceive you any longer. But friend, in order for the belt of truth to work in your life, this belt of truth right here, guess what? It's got to be stored up on the inside of you. And how do you store it up? That's it. Read it on a consistent basis in Jesus' name. Anybody have any questions, any comments at this point? The belt of truth. What is the belt of truth?
The word of God.
What is the belt of truth made up of? The word of God and the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. You know, you may be wondering about a certain path in life. Should I marry this person? Should I go to this school? Should I take on this job? And you're praying, God, I need you to lead me into truth. God, what do I do? And if God is telling you, yes, this is what I want you to do, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will give you a peace which surpasses any human understanding. God is saying, yes, through that peace. If God is saying, no, that's not what I want you to do, that's not the path I want you to take, you'll have no peace on the inside, just turmoil. So the belt of truth made up of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside, leading, guiding, and directing you into all truth. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right.